Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. When investment performance matters, make sure your savings are with Zurich. Visit zurich.ie to find out more.
Now, as we've been reporting, there have been two explosions and gunfire outside Kabul airport where civilians are attempting to flee Afghanistan. And thousands of those flying out of Kabul have been transported to Ramstein in Germany, which is the largest US military base in Europe. I'm joined from there now by their Chief of Public Affairs, Lieutenant Colonel Will Powell. Lieutenant Colonel Powell, you're very welcome to Drive Time, and thank you very much indeed for joining us.
Well, thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be on your show.
I want to talk to you about the evacuation effort and the presence and the welcome of refugees from Afghanistan to the Ramstein camp where you are there now, the military base. But can I ask you first of all about the most recent development in Kabul, the explosions and the gunfire, which unfortunately has killed 13 people, innocent civilians and children among them. And I think it's been confirmed by the Pentagon that US soldiers have been among those as well. When did you learn of the detail of that?
Well, I just learned myself, just like most of the world did, through the news just a few hours ago. So this is certainly a terrible tragedy to see and to hear unfold. So our hearts and prayers go out to all those affected right now.
The detail is still coming through. So as I say to listeners, if we get any more detail, we will bring them straight to you. Has that attack, the explosion, the fatalities, has that disrupted the arrival of Afghans at your military base in Ramstein there in Germany?
No, it has not yet, because that was just a few hours ago, and most of our flights so far have been coming from another location, not straight from Kabul. So it has not had any direct impact yet. Of course, there could be some family members who were involved in that, who have family members here. Mm-hmm. It's too early to tell right now, but some people here may have lost some family members.
Yeah, it must be an extremely tense and nervous time for an awful lot of people there. What is the mood like?
Well, I can tell you that they are exhausted. They're unsure of what to expect. Many are traveling with only the clothes on their backs, or maybe just a bag of their entire earthly possessions. You know, we often hear say that we have pretty much everything at our fingertips here, like through the internet, or you can get anything you need. But for them, they're carrying everything in their fingertips. You know what I mean? Like, that's all they have is in their hands. And so it speaks to the humanity of what we're doing here, is that we're trying to give them the care and the feeding and treat them with dignity and respect, because they're coming from such a terrible situation. Yeah. And we're often the first welcoming face they see, and we hand them water and food, and you know, we try to treat them well so that they know that they are safe when they arrive here.
Mm-hmm. What happens to them exactly when they arrived at Ramstein? And how many do you have there at the moment?
We have about 9,800, somewhere around there, but it fluctuates all the time because we have flights coming in and we have flights going out, taking them to the United States. So that number generally fluctuates. But that's about what we have right now, about 9,800.
Okay, so when they arrive, they're given some food and some water. And what happens then?
So they go through like a reception center. So they check their identification, if they have any documents. They get a medical check to see, do they have any symptoms of COVID, for example, because we take that also very seriously. Even during this evacuation operation, we're still ensuring that people are healthy, and we do COVID checks and tests if necessary.
Are they vaccinated?
Some may be, yes. I can't speak to everybody. I don't know if we have necessarily a percentage, mm-hmm. But I know some are, but some may not be.
Okay.
But we do check for their, you know, if they're cut or hurt or, you know, anything like that. And then we do security screening. So they do biometric scanning to see who are these individuals. Do they have any kind of concerns or anything like that?
Mm-hmm. Children, sorry to cut across you, Lieutenant Colonel, mm-hmm. are young children arriving at the base or the camp separated from parents, alone?
There are some cases of that, yes.
And what happens to those children?
Well, the State Department and UNICEF are actually very actively involved in trying to pretty much reunite them as much as they can. And that's obviously very difficult if they're not, if they're geographically separated in a different country. But that's something that the State Department and UNICEF are working very hard to try to, mm-hmm. to reunite families as quickly as possible.
And that will be extremely difficult. But I suppose there's a risk that they may never be reunited with their parents.
It's certainly possible, but I know that they're trying their best to reunite them if they can.
What about sleeping arrangements then for the 10,000 odd refugees mm-hmm. that you have there?
So that was one of our biggest challenges, was getting sleeping arrangements put together so quickly, because we only had a couple days warning, really, because by the time we were informed about they might be coming, within 48 hours, we had the first arrival. And in 48 hours after that, we had 7,000 Afghans evacuees on our ramps. So we had to have accommodations. We had to have tents. We had to have cots. We had to have, you know, all the things that they would need in such a short period of time. So we do have hundreds of tents mm-hmm. now. They're staying in our military aircraft hangars. We have cots. We have sleeping bags. We have food. We have everything they need for their basic necessities.
Where did all of those supplies come from? Do they all come from the U.S.?
It's a kind of a partnership. We rely on the off-base community. We have a contract to provide 30,000 meals a day, and that is from a local vendor, for example. We've had to bring in tents from our storage facilities that are not necessarily on Ramstein, but still in Europe. So we had to ship those in, the U.S. Army and other services and other agencies. We've had support from German government. So it really is a collective team effort to try to support this.
Mm-hmm. And will all of the refugees who are there, you say there are flights coming in and flights going out, will they all be relocated to the U.S.? Or is there an expectation that some states in the West or in Europe, the European Union, will take some of the refugees that you have there as well?
That's something that the State Department is working on in conjunction with Department of Homeland Security and many other interagencies. So that's a process that I can't really speak to, because that's outside of our area mm-hmm. of responsibility here. But every flight so far that has departed has gone to the United States.
Okay. What about the U.S. military who are arriving there? And they are presumably leaving for the U.S. as well, the end of their mission in Afghanistan, some of them there for quite some time. How do they feel about it? And can I ask you about the juxtaposition of the obvious good that you and your colleagues in the U.S. military are doing at Ramstein there, taking care of traumatized refugees fleeing a desperate regime, with the juxtapose that with the catastrophic end to a 20-year military presence in Afghanistan, which has ended in evacuation, chaos, and the loss of innocent life?
Mm-hmm. Well, I can tell you that I personally was in Afghanistan myself 10 years ago. I was deployed there for 6 months. So I worked very closely with Afghans, with members of the government and others who are supporting our efforts there. I worked at the International Security Assistance Force, ISAF, a NATO-led mission. And so I have that experience myself. So it's certainly unfortunate that this is occurring right now. But what I do find, I guess, a glimmer of hope is the fact that we are still able to support them here mm-hmm. and at other locations in Europe or even in the United States where they go to next, that we still offer that support and can provide hope after all of what they have lost in concert.
I wonder, as a U.S. officer or your colleagues as U.S. soldiers, is it in any way embarrassing that a U.S. operation, military operation, has ended in such catastrophe? Do you feel let down by those making strategic decisions, I wonder?
Well, I don't try to think about that in that way. I really just try to focus on what we're doing right now, which is the care and feeding of those who need it. And that's one of the greatest things about the military, is that, you know, a long time ago, you may have seen or heard of the quote that Ronald Reagan said about the U.S. Marines, which is certainly not my service, but part of the U.S. military. I'm in the Air Force. But he once said that there's no greater enemy, but no greater friend. And I'm paraphrasing; they probably said it a little bit differently. Mm-hmm. But that's the way I feel. You know, we the military has one function, and that is to defend the United States and its allies and its interests, but also humanitarian assistance. And that's what we're seeing right now. An outpouring of support.
Yeah, that's what you're doing in Ramstein. Can I ask you a little bit about the evacuation effort? Because we spoke with our Minister for Foreign Affairs about the Irish mission to evacuate citizens to this country. And there are still Irish people awaiting evacuation from Afghanistan, though the mission has ended. The Irish mission on the ground there has ended. Now, the German mission has ended today. I think the Canadian mission has ended today as well. Various foreign military will be pulling out of Afghanistan. And I just wonder, the US soon, I assume as well, before the deadline of August 31st, I just wonder how dependent, in your opinion, are evacuation efforts generally on US military presence there?
Well, I can't really say. That's, it's a little bit out of my lane. So we're focused more on what's happening here at this installation. So I'd probably have to really refer you to another agency to talk about that.
No, I understand. I appreciate that. Before I let you go, in the last few minutes, and I don't want to spring this on you, but a Pentagon spokesman has said a number of U.S. service members were killed in the Kabul attack. I take it this is very shocking and upsetting for you to hear. But can you give me your initial reaction to that?
Well, anytime there is a loss of a U.S. service member, it really affects all of us, because in a way we're kind of like a band of brothers or a family. You know, within the Air Force, we call ourselves a family. So it really affects each and every one of us in some way, that whenever we put our lives on the line and we actually lose it for the safety or security of our mission and for the United States and our interests and our allies, you know, it certainly is a terrible situation, but that's what we sign up for. That's what we volunteer for.
There's a good chance that you would have known some of those servicemen who lost their lives in that attack.
It's possible, but I haven't heard of any names right now.
Okay. Look, thank you very much indeed for telling us about that mission in Ramstein base there. 9,800 refugees at any one time. And as you say, the figure fluctuates. It is a huge operation. And Lieutenant Colonel Will Powell, Chief of Public Affairs at that U.S. military base in Ramstein, thank you very much indeed for joining us and bringing us up to date.